everybody. It's Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. A lot of stuff to sort out today, as we are in a rather controversial area here with the injury to Carson Wentz. And I will just try to give you my information. I can't discredit nor credit anybody else's information. It's their information. It's their sources. We all talk to people. We all think we have good sources. We all try to have good sources. We all try to be careful with what we put out there based on who we talk to. At least I try to do that as a journalist for much of my life. So my information is such. This is the definite that Carson Wentz now has what's called a compression fracture. It's kind of like on the same lines as a stress fracture. They call it a compression fracture when it's in the back area, in a vertebra. I believe it's lower in his back. And he has been ruled out by the medical staff for the rest of the year. So you're not going to see him the rest of the year. I think that information came to me solidly that they've decided to shut him down for the rest of the year. Now, number two. He has been suffering from back issues for several weeks now. The information that Schefter put out that this compression fracture was revealed in a recent MRI / CAT scan may be true. I don't know. I can just say that if you complain about back issues, that it seems very unlikely they wouldn't do the MRI CAT scan when you were complaining about it. But it's possible that this past week exacerbated the situation to the point where this back pain, whatever it was, turned into this compression factor. I don't know if that's really the issue here. You can play with a compression fracture. And so my information is that in no way was any information withheld from anybody. And the information that we're talking about that was on the previous show reported by Jason Martinez was that the doctors did not report it to the Eagles. The Eagles did not tell the patient. Whatever was reported, that is not my information. That the Eagles have known about this, that the player has known about this, and they've decided to suck it up and try to play with it. And so it makes sense that the compression fracture would have happened recently, as Schefter pointed out. That they finally decided to do all this preparation, CAT scan, MRI, and shut him down for the year. That is possible. But you have to understand that, and I'll just comment on, if it happened the way it was reported in our previous show, that you're talking about very respected professionals, and in the case of the Eagles, they have a spine doctor on staff who's one of the top five spine doctors maybe in the world, to not alert the team on findings that you come up with would be malpractice. And no doctor, in my view, would ever lay himself out for that kind of a charge. Nor do I believe would an organization do that as well, because then you are opening yourself up to multi-million-dollar lawsuits by player association, by the player itself. It's a version of fraud. So your organization, you can't do that either. So that's why I have a hard. My information does not say that happened. All right. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen. Because like I said, I respect everybody who's out there reporting has their sources. I'm just telling you what my information is, that currently it's been determined that he has a compression fracture. He's going to be shut down for the season. And he has had back problems for several weeks now. And they've decided that he was okay to play on it because you couldn't hurt it anymore. And it's just a matter of dealing with the pain. Okay. So that's basically in a nutshell as far as what I have determined. Now, I found this out, this compression fracture news I found out last night as I left the show. And I have since been trying to contact a lot of people to verify whether that in fact is the truth. That's the way I choose to report. This morning I talked to somebody who also verified it. But I have no information that the Eagles were withholding anything from the player, or that the player didn't know about it, or the doctors didn't tell the Eagles. It's to me, that part of it seems illogical. So the bottom line is the Eagles will continue the rest of the season without Carson Wentz. And I guess the only issue now, and because I've heard people say it, is that is this an injury-prone quarterback? I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that all quarterbacks are injury prone. I believe that all quarterbacks take their share of hits and they get banged up all the time. And so with the injuries that Carson Wentz has had in his career, I think it's just a byproduct of being a quarterback. And I don't think that he's injury prone. He's a stout, hardy athlete. So to me, that's not a frail guy that would prevent you from moving forward for a longer term commitment. And that's really what people are looking at now. Do the Eagles commit to a guy who's been injured, who's missed games now in his first three seasons? I say yes. I say you have no choice. You can't start playing guessing games that, okay, this guy we've determined is now going to be an unhealthy quarterback for his career, so we're not then going to hitch our wagon to him. That, to me, that's foolish thinking. You drafted him to be a franchise quarterback, and just like the Joel Embiid thing, you live with this and hopes for the better side that comes up. Tyrone, you heard the stuff that was going on today. A very, very hot topic, hot button issues. Your thoughts?
I'll address the last thing you said first. I agree with you. Guys get hurt. I believe if the circumstances were different, perhaps he would still be playing. That's just me reading the tea leaves from what you said and what you've reported and what other people have reported. If they actually thought they were going to make the playoffs, I think he would still suck it up like he's been doing. I think at this point they realize that it's over once they lost to the Cowboys, and it's not prudent to play him. So I don't think he's injury prone, and I still think he's a franchise guy. As far as the I don't like how the Eagles have handled injuries this year, period. But I don't know if they've done anything quote unquote wrong. But
We'll zero in on this injury here. Maybe it wasn't diagnosed as a compression fracture when he was complaining about back pain. Let's play with that for a second. Why would you report that he has injuries anyway? I'm trying to put myself in the team spot. You don't want to give anybody any kind of advantage if you would be, okay, we found out he has a compression fracture, but we're going to play on it. Like, how does that help the Eagles?
It doesn't help the Eagles. It actually could hurt the Eagles.
So you can see where they might not have been forthcoming in reporting if that were the case about an injury that he was want to continue to play on. They just wouldn't tell anybody, and he's just sucking it up.
Right, and I believe he was hurt, and I believe he was sucking it up. I saw a stat today that he, since the first time he showed up on the injury report with back spasms, he's rushed the ball 22 times for 35 yards. So obviously, you know, that's not very much. And before that, he was over 5 yards a carry pre that injury.
Yeah.
So clearly he was hobbled and sucking it up, and actually makes me, and he never complained, not that he should get a cookie for it. I'm just saying he never complained. So the people out there who were calling him faults and on social media and stuff like that, I don't think that's the case. This was a guy who was trying to will a team to the playoffs.
He was trying to play with some kind of problem in his back. You know, if you're the Eagles and he does have a compression fracture, and you couch it as back spasms, because to me, back spasms really are something that goes away quickly. That's an indication that there's something else wrong. Like, back spasms, I don't even know if I would put it on an injury report. But they had to do something. Then maybe that they thought that was the easiest way to explain what was going on without revealing that maybe he had a fracture. Possible. I don't know whether the fracture happened a while ago or whether it happened just now. And to me, it really doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. The bottom line is that whatever happened Sunday exacerbated the situation where the pain was too intense to play, and the doctors figured it out, okay, we can't play him anymore.
Yeah, and I saw a video. He's at practice today. They show video of him jogging around, and he looks gimpy. Now, that doesn't mean that.
And he looked gimpy in the game Sunday. He did. Now, again, we're talking about, I've heard people talk about it. Well, then why would you run him on an option keeper? Well, I don't know why you would do that. I assume that if you're a coach and the guy's healthy enough to play and he's sucking it up with the pain, that you don't take the time to think about, oh, I can't run this particular play here because he's injured. You call the plays as if a guy is healthy. Because you get caught up in it. You don't have time to think to that level. So, I know a lot of people say, well, why would you do that? And you're right. You probably wouldn't do it. But maybe you don't have time to think about it. And maybe you're conditioned that this guy's played over the last several weeks with this back issue. So what's the difference?
Yeah, but I think if that's a play that you take out of the playbook completely when you do your packages that week. And I think that's a flaw in Doug, but Doug's had a lot of play calling snafus all season long. I don't think he was looking to get the guy more hurt. I just think he made a mistake, like he's made a lot of play calling mistakes.
It's possible. But it is also possible that this compression fracture was not diagnosed until after the game, and he thought that just, you know, his back pain was his back pain. He's been playing on it, so what's the difference? That he didn't know that he had a compression fracture, and that was only revealed until after this game when they took further tests. That is very possible.
It is, because he's a tough guy. Maybe he wasn't telling them how much pain he was
in. I don't know that the compression fracture happened several weeks ago. I know it happened. It's been diagnosed now. But what my instincts are that if you've got back pain, that they go and test everything to figure out where the back pain is coming from. Like, they just wouldn't test. They wouldn't not do an MRI. They would not do a CAT scan when the original complaint happens. So that's the only thing that I question at this point. All right. Let's bring in our next guest who reports very well for the NFL Network. He is a killer when it comes to gathering information. And, of course, he is a Philadelphia native, Mike Garofalo. Mike, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, doctor. The doctor is in.
Yes.
Dr. Missinelli.
Yeah, well, tell me what your information is.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. And see, the timeline is the key part here, because and nobody really is going to be able to break this all down, because there could have been some kind of fracture a couple of weeks ago that didn't come up on the test that they did. I mean, this is a common thing sometimes for, and listen, there's different kinds of fractures and things that can lead to fractures. You can have a stress type fracture where it kind of builds over time, and there, if you don't necessarily get it in the first test, you may see it a little bit later as it develops. So there's different ways of getting it. I don't want to get too deep into the medical stuff, but the point is, we can't sit here, you and I, and even people involved, and know, okay, X is when it occurred for sure. Mm-hmm. And so they may have, I tweeted earlier, and I came back and kind of corrected it, because my point was, look, if you're saying that there was some kind of thing here that they missed and you want to criticize them as a medical staff, fine, go crazy. But the suggestion of, like, you know, they were hiding something from Wentz and they knew about it and didn't tell him, is just that's not the case at all. And really, why would a team hide an injury from a franchise player that they need to be healthy for years?
Well, it also opens them up to major lawsuits if they did that. Right. So this compression fracture may have happened a couple weeks ago, and all parties determined that it was okay for him to play through it. A lot of quarterbacks will play through things like that. Rest is what heals this, not surgery, and it's not getting better. It's kind of like just a fissure is what it is.
Again, ask your question.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, like, it's gotten to the point now where he can't play through it. And that's the only thing that's declarative about this whole thing, that whatever happened in this last game exacerbated it to the point where they're going to shut him down for the season. That's what we know.
That's my hunch on this one, that I would lean that way. But I'm told that there are some people involved in this one from a medical perspective that say, hold on, let's see what's going on here, because it could be something that he could play through. And the other thing I'm told, and let me go through, hold on, going through my text here because I want to get this right. Somebody involved here told me it is healing already, and the team is weighing if there's a risk of him, any risk of him playing. So they've already actually seen some healing between when they first discovered it, obviously, and so that could be a couple of days here where they believe that this thing is starting to heal. It's the old Mike Tyson clip, right? My back is broken, spinal.
Yes.
It sounds bad. And it's painful. And those spasms, by the way, a lot of teams will hide behind, hey, he's got spasms.
Exactly.
Well, the spasms are a symptom of something else that is going on, and the muscles are contracting because there is a greater issue here. And again, that could have been what was going on here, but they don't believe that, number one. And number two, it was not detectable on their tests.
Okay. Now, my information is that the medical staff has decided to shut him down. So we'll see what happens with that.
I've heard that. But they're also, and I think Jeff McClain tweeted this out, that Wentz is getting his own opinions here, which do not take that and, oh, Carson Wentz doesn't trust the Eagles medical staff, and how could he, you know, spit in their faces like that. If any player knows, or any agent worth his salt knows, okay, we're going to go get another opinion on this because we don't want to throw a guy on the field. Or we don't want to necessarily take him off if he can still play. They just want a second opinion on this.
Yes. So
that's kind of.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's going on right now?
Talking to Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network. Mike, the two questions I guess that people have with through this is that, okay, if they have known this back situation with him, why would they run him on an option keeper on third and one? And that's a smaller issue to the bigger issue, which is he now in the classification of an injury-prone quarterback that they may not want to commit to with that mega quarterback contract?
I do not sense that that is going to be an issue. I believe that they are going to, now look, maybe it doesn't get done early in the off season. Maybe it drags on and it's something that happens right before the start of the season, if not later. I just have trouble like slapping an injury prone label on a guy. A lot of times, Mike, you know, it's with, let's take RG3, for example. When he was coming back with the Browns, I remember talking to somebody and they said, listen, the problem with this guy is, you know, all right, maybe he's going to get healthy and he's still got a little, he's still got a good skill set, blah, blah, blah. The guy's too lean and light. And when he takes a shot, his limbs are flying all over the place. He's just a guy that you worry is going to get beat down. Wentz is a thicker guy, you know. He's built better than that. But that being said, you know, he's not even Roethlisberger. I mean, look how big Roethlisberger is. He takes shots.
He'll get banged up.
If you play a brand of football that lends itself to you taking shots, whether it's Roethlisberger hanging in the pocket a little longer or Wentz keeping the ball on some kind of a read option or whatever, you're going to take shots. You're going to get hurt over the long haul. So I do wonder now if the Eagles, and I don't want to say injury prone, but if the Eagles look at this and say, okay, maybe we have to do a better job of protecting our quarterback, and maybe we need to adjust some of the things that we do so that we don't have to put him in a situation where he's such an ultra competitive guy that he's going to fight for every last yard. He's going to put himself out there and maybe take some shots.
Yes. Now, what happened to the Eagles this year? There are all kinds of theories, but it's not unusual that a team that wins the Super Bowl will come back this way. From your perspective, what happened? From league-wide perspective, what has befallen the Eagles this year?
I think there's a lot of theories out there, Mike. Guess what? They're all right. Okay. Cause there's a number of things that came into play. I just don't want to put it on this whole Super Bowl hangover thing because I think that's a disservice to what these guys did this offseason. You know, they put in the work. They truly did try to refocus themselves as quickly as possible. It's not like everybody was going on vacation or hanging out in the islands for 3 months after the Super Bowl win. But that being said, sometimes it's hard to keep that edge. And sometimes it's hard to play the way that, look at how the Bears are playing. Don't the Bears right now, especially defensively, remind you of this Eagles team last year? It's hard to keep that in this league. And a couple of weeks ago, to get down to the micro level on this one, you know, Fletcher Cox and I were talking about, you know, what you guys don't have as many turnovers, because that's what even Doug Peterson said. You look at our numbers compared to year over year. Yeah, but the turnovers are down. Okay, well, that's a big one, because that's a symptom of your defense not playing the way it did last year. And Cox was telling me, well, we don't have guys playing behind the chains. We're not getting tackles for a loss or tackles for no gain on first down, and now teams have more manageable situations. And that's really a lot of times, okay, guy's going to go in there, guy's going to disrupt the play, guy's going to make a tackle in the backfield. And by the way, I checked the numbers after he said that. He was absolutely right. They went from ranking one of the highest teams in the league as far as second down yardage to one of the lowest teams in the league defensively, second down yardage. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of the little things I think edgewise you lose. On the other side of the football, I still say, and I know he just got fired the other day, I I still say the loss of John DeFilippo, number one, and Frank Reich, number two, not in that order, but those two guys, that's two major losses. You lost your offensive coordinator and the guy that would have been your OC and practically supplemented your offensive coordinator last year in a lot of situations. No knock against Mike Groh and Press Taylor, who are working their way into those roles. Big losses there. Big losses.
And big losses, but does it dilute the abilities of the head coach in any way? That he's not know. He's only a good coach if he had those two guys.
Oh no! Listen, that's the other thing. I don't want to insult Doug Peterson.
No, I'm trying to throw that out because that's one of my theories. I would hate to think that my coach needs those two guys, or else he's not a great head coach.
No, I don't want to say that. Okay. And listen, he calls the plays too.
It's yes, he does.
Offensively at all. I don't want to make it seem that way, but those guys were just like really clicking, you know, and they came out and played so well early in games last year. They have not played well early in games this year. And that's a testament to how well they game planned last year and how it took other teams a while to catch up to what they were doing. And that's, here's another symptom of winning the Super Bowl. Everybody looks at you and says, okay, what's that team doing? Let's figure out a way to, because now the target's on you. So now a lot of the things that you were doing, and we've heard it week in, week out from Carson Wentz. Well, defenses are playing us differently this year than they did last year. Of course they are, because they sat there and watched the tape and said, hey, this could be affected. Maybe we'll play a little bit more zone coverage to take away that RPO and the quick slant and the quick throw, which they've done by playing a little more zone than man, where you can rub a guy off that way. Timeout. Take that one back. Where you can where you can.
What are you, somebody else grabbing you? You got to get off. You'll be with him in a second. One more question for you. You know exactly what's going to happen here. Nick Foles is going to beat the Rams. And we're going to, you know, it's Philadelphia, and we're going to be talking about this whole scenario. In your opinion, what chance do they have now to get that last spot? With Minnesota free-falling, do they have a chance to slide in here with Nick Foles?
I think it's tough. Then you got Houston on deck. Minnesota, it's a scramble for that last spot. And the team that I was looking that might have more of a shot than we're crediting them is the Giants. Now, the Giants have to win out, right? Which is probably the most difficult, hard to believe part of the scenario, by the way, is that they have to win out. Everything else that they need help from like four or five teams or whatever it is actually doable. They got one the other night with Seattle beating Minnesota. Listen, I think in the end, I'd still hand that spot to Minnesota. I think they can put it together long enough and play good defense and have to win a couple of games here and get themselves in there. To me, even if you get in, how much damage are you going to do? Probably not much, right?
Yeah, I get you. All right, Mike, listen, we appreciate it. And how about our man Tyrone getting his own show now? I turn around, there's you on my big screen. I turn around, there's Tyrone on my big screen.
I was just talking to him before I came out. I've seen clips here and there. I haven't had a chance to catch the show.
You got to catch the show.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got that swag,
You got to get it on the app. Of course he's got the swag.
We got to hook up the app.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, man, continued success, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You got it.
Right, Mike Garofalo, Comcast Business Hotline from the NFL Network. There you go. Both of you. Our next guest, world-famous fantasy football expert from ESPN.com, brought to us by Family & Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family & Company Jewelers your first stop. Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Here he is, folks, Eric Carabel. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Fantastic. Let's get right into it. Nicky Foles, does he have magic touch to play him this week as a quarterback on your roster?
No. And it's not all his fault. I mean, it's the mess around him. It's the offensive line isn't healthy. It's the weaponry. It's the lack of a running game. It's the ridiculous coaching game plan. No. Eagles, I take the Rams. And the only Eagle you can really play this week with confidence is Zach Ertz. You would think the Rams would know that. But Ertz, you have to play. But even Josh Adams, I say this every week. One week it's 16 carries, the next week it's half of that. No way on Foles, especially not the defense. It's not going to go well.
You do know that the Rams' weakness is defending the RPO.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he does. I'm seeing 500 yards from Nicky.
I'm sure you are. I'm seeing a coaching staff that has no idea what they're doing offensively and defensively. So you can say, all right, Nick Foles, he's healthy. I don't see it. I mean, the Rams are going to rush him like crazy, and I don't see how Jason Peters and everybody else are going to be able to stop that. So you would think they would establish the run early in this game. I hope they will. I'm not optimistic.
All right, so would you bite the bullet then and play Goff and Gurley?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Rams. Goff is my number two quarterback for the week. Gurley's the number one running back. Their two wide receivers are top 20 guys. Their defense looks good. This is not going to go like it did last season. I'm sorry, Eagles fans. It might go like the Saints game last month. It's not going to go like last season's Rams game.
All right, give me a couple certainties and a couple sleepers this week.
Certainties and sleepers. Well, you know, there's no certainties in fantasy football. But, I mean, you want to look at the running backs. Obviously, there's fill-in running backs again. We don't think Melvin Gordon is going to play tonight because the Chargers brought up another running back from the practice squad, which makes Damian Williams a pretty good play, a top 20 play. Jalen Samuels of Pittsburgh, again, will be the starter for them. It's fill-in running back week, just like it was last week. So these guys, you will want to trust these players. You know, don't get too fancy in the playoffs. It's still matchup-related, and who are your best options? Don't go by loyalty or who you had, you know, back in September. Go with your best.
All right. What's the biggest mismatch as far as a good offensive team versus a bad defensive team or vice versa?
Well, I mean, the Eagles, obviously, secondary cannot handle Goff and the weapons there. I'm also interested in what happens with New Orleans. Drew Brees hasn't played all that great. He's been a little inconsistent of late, and so is the running game. Carolina looks like one of those teams that's in the tank, like Washington, mm-hmm. like Jacksonville, like Atlanta. These are teams you should be able to put up any numbers you want up against. Now, that's a Monday night game. I want to load up on Saints here, both the running backs, Drew Brees, obviously. And Cam Newton is starting to scare me a little bit because of the turnovers in the past couple of weeks. That's one of those games where you say, man, I really hate investing in anybody on Carolina. Obviously, you're going to invest in Carolina's running back. But some of these teams, the way they're playing, like there's no player on Washington or Jacksonville you want to trust this week.
All right, let's get to the business. First go email. Need to fill my flex position, non-PPR league. Doug Martin, Jeff Wilson Jr., Jarvis Landry.
Landry. I mean, Wilson has to face Seattle, otherwise I would say him. But to me, Landry, I mean, he's getting enough looks every week. His quarterback's playing well. And please remember, everybody, not only is there a Thursday game tonight, there are two games on Saturday. Get your lineups in early this week.
All right. Ernest emails. Andrew Luck or Lamar Jackson at quarterback. And with the Melvin Gordon injury, I have Justin Jackson, Aaron Jones, and Gus Edwards. Who do I start there?
Aaron Jones is still the guy you want. I mean, I think Justin Jackson will do okay tonight. And certainly there's no competition. We think Melvin Gordon won't play. But I would go Aaron Jones regardless. And then it's Luck for me. He bounced back great last week. Lamar Jackson's still just a runner, not a whole lot of passing stuff.
Okay, this is leads to the next question. Garrett, with Carson Wentz out, would you recommend Lamar Jackson, Dak, Josh Allen, or someone else likely to be on the waiver wire?
I mean, I think Jackson's floor is pretty high for fantasy. The problem is his ceiling isn't that great because he doesn't pass the ball enough. But, I mean, look, the way Dak Prescott has played, you got to give him some credit there. I hate doing so. But I've got Dak as a borderline top 10 guy. Same with Lamar Jackson. Those would be my choices. Josh Allen plays a Detroit defense and has not allowed any rushing yards to quarterbacks, so that may be a problem for him.
All right, Mike emails, Adam Humphries, Damian Williams, DJ Moore, PPR flex, I need two.
I mean, Humphries and Williams are fine. I mean, obviously, Williams are going to get some run in this game tonight because of no other Kansas City running backs. And Humphries has been on a tear. The problem with Tampa Bay is they're playing a really good Baltimore defense that's still playing for something there. So I don't think Winston gets to throw for 300 yards. So, I mean, in order, it would be Williams and then Humphries for me.
All right. Matt emails in, half-point PPR league. Assuming Odell Beckham Jr. and James Conner don't play, I need to play two of Tyler Boyd, Gus Edwards, Dante Pettis, or Kenneth Dixon.
Man, that's not great. I mean, Tyler Boyd, obviously, against Oakland, should get his numbers there. I don't have any concerns. And Gus Edwards, even though he gets no catches whatsoever, literally, is still good for at least 7 or 8 fantasy points and maybe gets in the end zone. Those would be the two I trust there.
All right. Fix my flex. He's desperate. Chris is. I don't know to start. I'm in the semifinals of my league. Justin Jackson, Damian Williams, Nick Chubb, Jalen Samuels, Tariq Cohen. Please help.
A lot of names there. I mean, you don't need to trust the new starters now when you've got those guys. I mean, Nick Chubb is a pretty good running back, having a top 10 season since he's gotten the chance. I would start him first. and Tariq Cohen second because Cohen catches so many passes.
All right, let's go with the quarterback choice here. Josh Allen or Mitch Trubisky, Pat wants to know.
There I'd go Allen. Trubisky looked terrible last week. I don't think he's as – I think his numbers have come from really big games, but he hasn't been consistent at all, and I don't want to take that chance. I take Allen.
Okay, here's another quarterback question from Tim on Twitter. Breeze or Ryan at quarterback?
Breeze.
Okay.
Definitely Breeze this week.
All right. Edward, I need to know who to start between Aaron Jones and Justin Jackson. That Chicago D scares me a little bit. Also, will Fournette rebound this week?
Fournette will rebound this week. You saw what Washington did last week. That's an embarrassment to them. I think Fournette's going to have a big game this week. And you can say, yeah, Aaron Jones against Chicago is a tough matchup, but they're feeding Aaron Jones with Justin Jackson. We really have no idea how the running backs will be used in tonight's game. These are filling guys. I think they'll be more on the pass-catching side than on the, you know, traditional running side. But it's a risk.
All right. Mac or Justin Jackson in a half-point PPR? Bill wants to know.
I'll stick with Mac. Again, we just have no idea. Justin Jackson's a flex option. If you've got a guy you know is starting, you know is putting up numbers like Marlon Mack is, even against Dallas, I'd stick with him.
All right. Sean, a couple quarterback questions on Pat Mahomes. Sean wants to know, Mahomes or Breeze?
I don't see how anybody could ever sit Mahomes. I have number one.
Okay. John says Rivers or Mahomes.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I have Rivers in my top five, but Pat Mahomes, I mean, he's a 50-touchdown season.
Okay. Damian Williams and Justin Jackson again, and it's a standard league, and Mahomes is his quarterback.
I would stay with the Kansas City running back there, load up Damian Williams.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Ryan and Collingdale, you're on with Eric Carabell. Ryan?
I need a third running back because I got Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook and Kareem Hunt got suspended. I got Damian Williams or Adrian Peterson.
Eric, you still there? Is Eric gone? We lost him? Oh, no. Eric, you there? Oh, we lost Eric Carabell. The line went dead.
Oh.
We're going to get him? All right, we'll get him quickly because we got a couple more people on the line here who want some fantasy football help, including Booney, our producer at NBC Sports Philly, has a question. Okay. All right, let's go to Joel. Joel, let me take your question, and I'll present it to Eric when he comes back. What's your question? Good, Joel. Well, what's your question?
I got a half-point PPR league and a flex position. I got Damian Williams, Deion Lewis, Kenny Galladay, and I have DJ Moore. So I need to start one.
All right, there he is. Eric, you back with us?
Thanks.
Eric, what happened? All right, Williams.
Yeah, go ahead.
Williams, half-point PPR league, our caller wants to know. Williams, Lewis, Galladay, or DJ Moore?
Williams, I think it's fine. Don't play Galladay this week, anybody.
All right. Also, Booney, our producer, NBC Sports Philly. DJ Moore at home versus Saints, or Dante Pettis at home against the Seahawks?
I like DJ Moore.
Yeah. All right, let's go Chris in Boyerstown. Chris, you're on with Eric Carabell. Go ahead, Chris.
Thanks for taking my call. I got Mixon, Fournette, or Lindsey. I need two from there. And Luck or Breeze? And Landry or Lockett?
Ooh, lots of names. Landry, Breeze, and your running backs all should be played. I would probably go with Fournette and Lindsey there.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, you got it. All right, let's just get a couple more here on Twitter. TJ Yeldon or Jalen Richard? Book wants to know.
That would be Jalen Richard. If he plays, he should play.
P wants to know, should I go Josh Jackson to quarterback?
No,
Josh Jackson?
Josh Johnson, you mean.
Josh Johnson,
no,
I'm sorry, Josh Johnson,
no.
Yes.
No, that ain't happening.
Not happening. All right, Jimmy, Deshaun Hamilton or Alshon Jeffrey?
You can make the case there that to definitely go with the rookie. You know, that's the Penn State rookie in Denver. Yeah, I'd take him. I mean, you have no idea how Foles is going to play in this game. He didn't play well in the first 2 weeks.
Okay, one last quarterback question. Breeze or Wilson? Interesting.
I have Breeze number two.
All right, and I lied. One more quarterback question. Josh Allen or Mitch Trubisky?
Allen again.
All right, you got it. Boy, that was quick. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. A lot of people want to know from Eric Carabell this week. He's brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, make Family and Company Jewelers your first stop. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.